Gracious God, we ask that you would be present in a very real way and that you would help us be present in a very real way. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would call us, that you might change us. Make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Today, I want to begin with a question. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to bless someone else? What does that word bless even mean? Sometimes when someone sneezes, we say, God bless you. Some families, they bless their food. Sometimes we'll sing songs like Blessed Assurance. Sometimes in the Deep South, someone will bless your heart, which does not mean what you think it means. Last week in the passage we were looking at, someone blessed someone else. What's that about? How do you do that? And then what does that actually do? Is that something we could do, or is that just weird? What does it look like to have a life that's blessed? Again, what do we even mean by that word? A few years back, it became popular to write a pound sign and the word blessed. I think the kids said it was a hashtag. I learned it as tic-tac-toe or a pound sign. But as I thought about how it was being used, most of the time, it was actually being used almost in the opposite way that word seems to imply. There'd be a picture of a vacation, a new car, something else awesome, and they'd write, hashtag blessed. But so often, what was actually meant is how awesome I am. Look what I earned. Things have gone well for me. And yet, I'm not quite sure that's what that word means. I'm not quite sure that's what the scripture means by the word blessed. Of course, all that said, bless also sounds like an old word. Blessings and curses and other things arcane. Those are great for stories. But we're people of modernity, of science. Do we even believe in that kind of thing any longer? And if so, what does it look like? What does it mean? And yet, what if this idea of blessing is actually a major theme of our faith? A major theme of our scriptures. What if this is something that's actually important and yet almost unnoticeable, untalked about in our faith? And so I want us to spend some time over the next couple of weeks and months and maybe this whole year getting a better understanding of this idea of blessing. We'll turn it around a couple different ways, so we won't only be talking about that one word, but as we go, what does it mean to be blessed is where we'll start. But then in the Bible, it talks about blessing God. What does that mean? We'll talk about that in Lent. And then there are some times where our lives don't feel very blessed. We'll talk about that right afterward. In the fall, maybe we'll spend a little bit of time really digging into this idea of what does it mean to bless others? What does that look like? And is there ways to do that where it wouldn't be weird? In your office place, it would be weird to like, I bless you. I mean, that you can't do that. But what can you do? And what does it do? But today, we simply begin this journey together, trying to understand what does it look like to be blessed? What's it for? And then are there any responsibilities that come with it? And so we're going to take a bit of a survey through a few different passages in the first five books of the Bible over the next couple of weeks to try and just understand this word blessing, especially in light of the reality that we all have been blessed. But because of that, I get the sense that there's something we're supposed to do, responding to those blessings that are important. And so we begin our journey today. And so if you would, I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, which is pretty much where the story gets started. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. This is 20 verses into, well, the Bible. We've celebrated the first four days or periods or epochs of creation. Today, We begin number 5. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of the land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Amen. Such an amazing and rich passage. I find it funny that every time I preach a new series on a big topic, I always end up back in this one passage because it speaks to all of the issues we talk about. Anyway, God creates the birds of the air, the fish of the seas, and he blesses them. That's day 5. The next day, God creates the beasts of the field, the livestock, the creepy crawlies. But then God does something different because he makes us, but in his image. And he blesses us, but differently. He gives us commands and even responsibilities. Be fruitful and multiply. That's just like the animals. but then subdue and rule over the world and the animals. In other words, with our blessings come certain responsibilities. Additionally and interestingly, God also blesses us differently in that he addresses us directly and personally, which is different. That's the sixth day. It was a really good day. Very good even. And of course, on the next day, God rested, which made the seventh day holy. It made the seventh day blessed. After this, the story kind of zooms in and God forms Adam from the dust of the ground. And God breathes breath of life into him. And then God places Adam into a garden that he has planted. Not that he breathes into existence, but he actually planted it. God, a garden. And he tells Adam to work it and take care of it. Now, wait a second, you think. Which is it? A minute ago, you said Adam was blessed. Now it seems like Adam has a whole bunch of work he's supposed to do. Which is it? Because a whole bunch of work to do doesn't sound very blessed the way we normally think about it. Unless, of course, maybe we're thinking about blessings wrong sometimes. So let's back up. Let's look back through this passage, figure out what can we learn about blessings, and more specifically, let's see how blessings come from God, are under God, and are for others. So that's where we're going. Come from God, under God, and for others. The place we start is the most obvious, because all blessings flow from God. Like our doxology says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. All blessings. This is even more obvious when we think about our passage and where it begins. Because everything comes from God. Because God is the source of everything. Because God is the first mover. Because God is the creator. In other words, as we think about blessings in all their various forms, the place we have to start is that they aren't from us. They aren't earned, they aren't deserved, they aren't even worked for. Blessings are given. By their very nature, blessings come from somewhere else, someone else, which is part of what makes it a blessing. But then this gets even more expansive and inclusive than we normally think about. But you think, sure, but I work for my salary. And thus I conclude, well, that part's not a blessing. That's what I earn. That's what I work for. And yet, if you've ever lost your job, you very quickly remember the blessing of a job. The blessing of being able to do that work and get that salary. When you're in it, it's not a blessing all the time. It's work, and I'm earning what I'm getting, but when it's gone, you recognize the blessing again. Or sometimes we think, sure, but I've got some skills. I've got some talents. I can hustle my way through just about anything. So that doesn't count as blessings. That's not given to me. I mean, that's who I am. Until, of course, you get sick. Or you get hurt, or things get hard, and then suddenly you remember the blessings of health, the blessings of those skills. And you recognize again that those have been given. Or sure, you have some resources stored. I'm earning a little bit of interest on the side. It is my wisdom and the system at work. So those aren't blessings. That part's me. Until the bottom drops out. And again, we're forced to remember the blessings of structures and systems. Stability. Also, don't fall for the trap here that we're only talking about blessings as monetary pieces. Because we also acknowledge the blessings of relationships, family, friends, community. The blessings of peace and hope and love. The blessings of faith. The blessings of life. Because, of course, it's all been created and it's all been given. It's all blessing. And in seeing this way, in remembering that it's not just through our striving and sweating and wrangling and wrestling and energy and effort, when we see that everything comes from God, we're changed. We remember that we're created. And we become a little bit more of who God has made us to be. Because, of course, in that, we also remember how God has made us. God looked at creation. God looked at us. And after evaluating, God declared, it is very good. You see, it's not that all of our effort and all of our talent and all of our work, it's not that those things aren't important. Because they're part of how God made us. It's just that that's all part of the blessing as well. And it all comes from God. But notice the point of the passage isn't only that we've been blessed. Because God then also gives us work to do. God also makes us accountable. God also calls us to steward all of those blessings well. Or to put it in the language of this sermon, blessings imply responsibility. God created, God blessed, God gave, and then God put us over those things, those beings, this creation as his stewards. Which means it's our job to then steward the blessings of God well. The ones that have been entrusted to us, it's up to us to steward those things well. God calls us to subdue and rule over all of creation under his guidance and oversight and care. Later, God tells us to work and take care of creation, to till and tend it, to nurture and keep it, to serve and protect it, to cultivate it, to conserve it. Everything. We have to recognize the scope and magnitude of what God is talking about here. It's not just the stuff under our roof. It's not just the money in our accounts. It's not just the resources that we have available to us. In fact, that's partly why we're talking about this kind of idea of stewardship, not in the normal church calendar year when we talk about stewardship, because this isn't as easy as giving 10%. This is so much bigger than that. It's about stewarding our lives, even our own bodies, better. It's about stewarding our stuff better. It's stewarding our skills better. But it's also about stewarding our relationships, our family relationships, our friend relationships, our neighbor relationships, even stranger relationships better. It's about stewarding our communities, our neighborhoods, our world better. It's about stewarding every aspect of all of creation better. And again, the scope here is staggering because we're talking about everything. And yet, you can also take everything and boil it all the way down to just even one little thing. How can I steward this one little thing better? As an example, I have a tree in our backyard. I don't think I've been stewarding it very well. And it's starting to become evident that I'm a bad steward of this tree. Truth be told, I don't know how to steward a tree very well. The time scale on a tree is different. I mean, I'm good in the spring. You plant a seed, it grows. I can do something with it for a little bit. Then it gets too hot. Then I leave it. And then the stewarding breaks down when it gets too hot outside for little seeds and stuff. But this tree, it can last through those seasons. And yet, I think that freeze a couple years back, I think it killed some of it. Do I prune it? Do I not? What about the living parts? Is that the more important part to prune? Does it need more? How do I steward just this tree better? Is that even the best way to steward that land? Is it better to get the tree out of there? Should it not even be? If I was stewarding this one little piece of land, is the tree the right way to do that? What does God want me to do? How can I care for this little part of creation better? Are there people who know more about these things? And that's just trying to steward one lone tree in a garden better. What about the house? What about the people in the house? What about the people in the neighborhood? What about the people who aren't in my neighborhood? Let alone the rest of the world. You see how quickly this idea of stewardship gets harder and much more detailed. And yet the scope and the size of what we're talking about doesn't remove our responsibility as stewards. In some way, the very nature of blessings is that they are more abundant than we can manage, which might be part of the point. Especially as we cultivate and care for creation and we bring out even more from creation, they become even more abundant than we can manage on our own. So we had better discover what it's all for. And here's why this is so important. Because God may intend these blessings not only for us. They may not just be about God either. They may be for others. You see, these blessings may have been given to us, but they may not be for us. They may be given to others through us. It's almost like God is trying to overflow these blessings outward, and he's using us as kind of the conduit to get those blessings out. It's probably also helpful to notice again, especially at this point in our story, that again, we're not just talking about money here. Again, when you start talking stewardship, it quickly turns into money, but they didn't have any money in the Garden of Eden. So that's not the kind of blessings we're necessarily talking about. So how do we then bless people and creation in all of the different ways we could do it? Maybe it's helpful to get at this another way. Sometimes a parent will want to teach their kids the importance of giving. We just had Christmas, not that long ago, I'm pretty sure. But those parents recognize that the child doesn't necessarily have the resources to do this in a meaningful way, such that both the giver and the recipient will appreciate the gift. And so sometimes what a parent will do is they'll bless the child with some extra resources so that they will then be able to, in turn, bless someone else and thus learn a little bit about blessings and giving and thankfulness and all those wonderful lessons. What if that's what God's doing for us? What if God wants us to learn about giving and generosity and care and love and blessing, but God also recognizes that, well, we're not very good at it, and we don't always have the resources to do that in a meaningful way, and so God blesses us in order for us to then bless others and learn about blessing. The problem then occurs, though, and it happens with little kids, and it happens with big adults as well, that we then start to worry. Well, I have all this extra, and I need to get something for Grandma, but I have all this extra, and I could do something with that as well, and Grandma doesn't really need anything, so... Or what happens if these blessings are going to stop at some point? I mean, it's great that it's coming in right now, but it may not keep coming in, so maybe I should keep more. Or maybe there's so much need out there, I mean, I could start giving these blessings away, but that need is so great. You see, if you're like me, and hopefully you're not, you tend to catastrophize some of these fears so that you don't have to bless. What if I don't have enough? What if the blessings just stop one day? What if I can't do it all? And we cease to trust the giver, the blesser. And instead we hold tight to what we have, just in case. And it doesn't work. And yet God has blessed us, and God continues to bless us, maybe in the hopes that we become better blessers. In fact, maybe that's how he made us to be. Maybe that's who he's made us to become. In fact, what if this is a part of what it means to be made in the image of God? Since God is the ultimate, God just finished creating everything and then giving it to us, what if that's part of the image of God? Now I want you to create and to give. I want you to become a blesser like I am. God blesses us. God calls us to be good stewards so that we will become a people who then bless others. Let's pray. Lord God, we love the idea of blessings. We love the idea that you have blessed us. But Lord, things get harder when it becomes our job to bless others. We don't always know how to do that. And we don't always want to know how to do that. And yet, Lord, you continually pour your blessings into us. So as we begin this journey, as we begin exploring these ideas, we pray that you would start to open up our minds and our hearts, that we might discover new ways that you have blessed us and new ways where we might be able to bless others. Lord, open us up to what you are doing. Open us up to how you have made us in your image to become better blessers. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who gave himself for us to bless us. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.